Welcome to Breakthrough with Brig, the podcast that teaches high-achieving Black women how to use thought work to break through barriers, get out of their own way, and become their best self in the most loving and sustainable way. Y'all ready? Let's dig in.
Hey guys, episode 172. Welcome to today's podcast, where we're going to dive deep into the world of relationships. I'm not going to get real deep in. I'm going to actually explain why we do some of the shit we do. Our relationship, self-worth, and crucial role of the nervous system in shaping our choices, our experiences, especially as women of color. So today, we're tackling a pervasive issue, why we often choose partners who don't choose us, and how this ties into our nervous system states, collapse, conflict, and coherence. I talked about those states last week, and we're going to specifically kind of talk about the collapse, but just briefly. So this won't be a nervous system thing, but I want to explain why we do some of the stuff we do, so that we can start bringing compassion to how we treat ourselves after we reveal ourselves to ourselves, right? Like when you start seeing patterns that you don't like why do I keep choosing people who don't choose me? Like, why do I do this? If you've ever asked yourself a version of this, first of all, you're not alone, queen. It's totally normal. And after listening to this podcast, you will understand not only why you do it, you will make sense of it, and you will have a game plan of how to course correct without judgment, with lots of compassion. So let's talk about the fact that relationships signal safety to our nervous system. But when we're stuck in the collapse or conflict phase, we often make choices based on feeling a void of safety rather than genuine compatibility or desire. So that's why I entitled this podcast, The Safety Illusion, Why We Crave Those Who Don't Choose Us. Because we're thinking if we can get them some kind of way to choose us, that means we're safe. I'm going to explain why this happens and how to change that. This could lead us into a cycle of selecting partners who don't affirm our value because we're too busy affirming ourselves to them. Can I say that again? This leads us into a cycle of selecting partners who don't affirm our value because we're too busy affirming ourselves to them. Remember, our sense of belonging and safety is intricately linked to our relationships. Remember, belonging, safety. If I don't belong, I get kicked out the tribe. If I get kicked out the tribe, I cannot survive on my own. That means danger, right? So when we're stuck in this collapse state that I talked about last week. If you didn't listen to last week, listen to last week and it will explain it. But when we're stuck in the collapse state or what I call the cocoon cave, remember, we're in energy saving mode. So tell me if this is you, because you may not be choosing. You may be like, Brig, this isn't about me because I actually don't even choose people anymore, right? Maybe, just maybe, you're in the collapse state or the cocoon cave when it comes to dating or relationships, okay? This is, remember, that cocoon cave is that energy saving mode. So some of us have just been so drained that we don't even consider dating anymore because it takes too much energy. And remember, if it takes too much energy, we become too overwhelmed with it. It's too much, too soon, or too little, no affirming, over an extended period of time, then we just go into fuck it. I'm going in a cocoon cave. And so we may not even date. That's just a side note. So for those of you who are going, oh, well, I don't choose anybody, this relates to that, meaning maybe you're in the collapse or the cocoon stage. And what I'm saying here will help you as well. So with this, we are unknowingly creating patterns and habits. If the overarching thought is there something wrong with me? Remember, safety. If I don't belong, then it must be me. It's not everybody else. It must be me. What does society tell us as women of color, as marginalized identities? Because we're different. Something is wrong with you. So quite naturally, if my overarching thought is there something wrong with me? And I haven't answered it, then that leaves the door open for others to answer that for us. In this process, we may get stuck in the cycle of proving. Let me show you there's nothing wrong with me. So the main question our brain tries to solve is, what's wrong with me? If I can solve this by getting them to choose me, then I'm safe. Because them choosing me is a symbol that I fixed what was ever wrong with me. And nothing is, in fact, wrong with me anymore, right? That's why I say it's the illusion of safety. They can't give us this kind of safety you need. That comes from within. Now, with this in mind, the focus of is there something wrong with me, we miss other questions because we have our blinders on. Like, we are so focused on, is there something wrong with me? We miss asking a question. Is this person right for me? That's why the fact that they don't choose us, like, it comes in, but it's not the thing that's driving us. What's driving us is solving with something's wrong with me. Let me fix myself so that they choose me. Therefore, I'm safe because now I've proven that nothing is wrong with me, right? Even though we may get signals that they may not be the right person for us, that's not the bigger safety issue. So we don't ask that. We miss that question. We haven't asked that because the safety void is me. Something's wrong with me. And without that answer, we outsource that to others. So the problem with this is this, that others now have the power to determine our safety. We would never say that. But look at your patterns. Are you happier when you're in a relationship? Happier. Happy is happy. Are you happy, equally as happy, single as you are in a relationship? Or are you happier when in a relationship? Can you be with someone going through a hard time and not make that about you? Meaning, like, they're going through their shit. They are having their issues. But you don't have to personalize that and make that about you. Can you have difficult conversations that may lead to results, meaning they leave, that you don't want? Are you easily triggered by someone else's actions and act on them? And are you aware of that attachment and tend to yourself? Okay, like, uh-oh, they didn't call. Uh-oh, they didn't do this. Uh-oh, this is going on, right? Like, are you easily triggered or are you fully aware of, like, oh, I'm making this mean this, right? Or can you have those difficult conversations? Like, I'm gonna call you out on your shit. And that may mean you may not like it and you leave. Am I willing to have those difficult conversations where I confront? Without understanding these patterns, we often repeat patterns because the brain's number one thing is survival. So it's like this. The brain is like, hey, last time this happened, it worked because we did this and we survived. We didn't say anything. We didn't confront. We survived. Now, it doesn't matter that you didn't have your highest self or that it ended in you not showing up in the best version of yourself or you didn't have the relationship that you want. All your brain cares at this moment is that you survived. So it's going to be like, hey, let's do that again. So therefore, the preference is for the familiar, not different. So it's like that pattern worked. I kept my mouth shut. I didn't rock the boat. Therefore, we were in a relationship for longer. That worked. That's what the brain is doing without your input. That's what this podcast is about. How we can stop that pattern and understand, oh, we got to bring the input in and why we do that. In order for us to change this pattern, we have to choose differently. Here's the rub, though. When we do choose differently, it can be and will be uncomfortable unless we have the skills to navigate it. Even with the skills to navigate it, understand that it will be uncomfortable. We often interpret that as meaning something is wrong. And it's usually with us, like I'm doing something different. This feels weird. I'm confronting. This feels weird. I'm having a difficult conversation. This feels weird. And we interpret it as I'm being too much. I'm asking too much. Maybe I'm being needy or whatever it is. So something is wrong with us. And this feeds into the safety issue more. And therefore, we're back in the pattern again. So we never interrupt the pattern. So to recap, the cocoon cave, the collapsed state, we unknowingly may be stuck in this, haunted by the question, is there something wrong with me? This question dominates our thoughts, leaving us in a perpetual cycle of seeking validation from others rather than affirming it on our own. This is the cycle that leads us to choosing partners who don't really choose us, as we're too caught up in proving our worth to them instead of asking, are they right for us? How do we break the pattern? To break the pattern and cycle of choosing partners who don't choose us, we must start by addressing the fundamental question within ourselves. Is there something wrong with me? So what are we to do? First, y'all know what I'm going to say. Answer the damn question. Answer it for your damn self. Is there something wrong with you? Really, is there something wrong with you? What is it? Why does this mean that something is incorrect, though? Why does this mean something is wrong with you? Is this just a coping strategy to a fucked up world and system? Some of the stuff that we do because we have adapted to a fucked up world and system, and that was actually our survival strategy. So is that wrong? Now, it's okay if now at our older age or we have a better vision or we are onto ourselves that we may want to change that adaptation, but we don't do it by making ourselves wrong for the adaptation in the first place. I want you to learn to teach yourself to see the pattern without judgment. This is a pattern I have, and we don't have to have a judgment about it. Without interpreting it as you're weak, stupid, dumb, or any other adjective we tend to use in these circumstances. Once you see these patterns without judgment, this allows us to step into curiosity loop. Now, I like calling these curiosity loops because these are spaces where we explore our patterns and motivations without self-criticism. Because once we criticize, we come out the curiosity loop. And we want to stay in the curiosity loop because the curiosity loop brings clarity. And that's what we want. The curiosity loop is about engaging in self-dialogue. You have the answers, self-dialogue, not asking them what's wrong with me, not looking for them to like treat you a certain way so that you answer the question, but you're doing the self-dialogue, asking questions that lead to more questions. This fosters an openness to understanding our deep-seated fears and desires. That's what you want to know. You want to understand yourself. This process can unveil the root causes of our relationship choices, offer insights into our behaviors, and the opportunities to change them. So to create a curiosity loop, you begin by asking yourself a question, and then you answer that with another question, which creates a loop of openness and curiosity. But again, we can't create it with judgment. Judgment means we're wrong, and that threatens our safety, which puts us back into collapse. Our brain cannot be curious in this state. Its goal in that state is conserve energy, not create more energy and usage by asking a bunch of questions using our prefrontal cortex. Remember, our prefrontal cortex uses 80% of the energy of the brain. That is not cost efficient. It is very expensive procedure that we're asking ourselves to do. So of course our brain is like, you sure we want to do this? Yes, we are. But that's why it doesn't do it by default. So here's an example. I've shared this example on this podcast before, but I think it fits here. I like using my personal example so you guys can see I'm human just like you guys. I don't have any special powers or anything. Only thing I've done is I've spent a little bit more time in curiosity loops about myself. So after a string of relationships that went nowhere with people I had no business being with for any length of time other than I see you, oh, I got it, out, right? I was like, what the fuck was wrong with me? What was I thinking? So I had two choices at that moment. I could believe what some of my friends were starting to say. Yeah, it was so bad that my friends were talking about me, y'all. That's how bad it was. And so their opinion was, I'm a little desperate, I'm weak, or I could assume that that wasn't true and seek to understand why I would put up with the shit that I wouldn't tell my child, my friend, much less my enemy to put up with. So those two choices, either it's true, which if it's true, then I'm fucked, right? So going to that one, like, yeah, it's true. I make bad choices. I'm weak and I'm desperate and something is wrong with me because something happened in my childhood and that's just the way I am. No. Or I can go, no, that wasn't it. So I created a judgment-free zone where I had space for curiosity, and I created the curiosity loop. I would think of shit that happened and ask, what was I thinking? Why did I say yes when I really wanted to say no? Why did I shrug off shit that I saw that I knew that it should be called out on? Why didn't I listen to myself more? I kept asking those questions, but not with the preference of something's wrong with me, you desperate, you weak, you're stupid, you're dumb, but with genuine curiosity. I want to understand you, queen. Two things came up. I wasn't using my authority. I was questioning my own good sense. So of course, when I had an instinct, I would talk myself out of it instead of listening to them because I had no proof. I'm like, this don't sound right, but I don't have no proof that the man is lying. So I would just squash my instinct down because there's no proof. I didn't step into my authority. I don't need authority. I can give myself the authority. I don't need proof. I can go, you know what? It don't make no sense. I don't have no proof, but this ain't sitting right with me. And that's enough. But as women, we're taught if we do that, we're being emotional. Oh my God. Like Risa Tisa's whole thing was, if you listen to it, it was so amazing how she talked herself into and out of the relationship and into and out of trusting her instincts the entire time. What's wrong with you? You've never had somebody treat you good and now you're questioning everything. Like she questioned the fact that she was questioning, right? That is that authority gap that I talk about that I teach my clients about. Like as women of color, we have that gap and we have to understand that. And until we feel that gap, we don't trust our instincts or give ourselves the authority to say, this ain't right. I don't need no proof. This ain't feeling right. This is not how I want to be treated. Call me whatever you want. It is what it is. This podcast is sponsored by Brig Johnson Coaching. Hey, I have some exciting news for all of my high achieving women out there. That's right. I get the emails and DMs from you guys saying you wish you were my target market. I understand. We need great allies too, and we need allies with well-managed minds. Well, I've listened. So this offer is for you too, because it's a one-on-one offer. So if you're feeling stressed and overwhelmed, you're a woman of color or not, or an ally. If you're tired of feeling like you can't do more, I'm here to help. My one-on-one six-month coaching program is designed specifically for you. Together, we will work on strategies to help you manage your stress and help you achieve your goals. Because women quitting on their dreams is just not an option. And this is what my six-month program can do for you. Instead of time management, we will uncover why you manage your time the way you are so that you can prioritize self-care, giving you more time to do the things you love. Are you struggling with imposter syndrome? Are you anxious with a chaotic mind? I get it. We target the root causes of imposter syndrome, helping you gain the confidence and self-assurance to pursue your goals and succeed in your career and your personal life. Do you struggle with communication issues, difficulty expressing yourself effectively, or asserting your needs professionally or personally? You'll learn to cultivate a positive relationship with yourself. We'll work on the why this issue is for you, why this is happening, helping you resolve the inner conflict so that you can easily take care of the external conflict with others. When it comes to communicating your needs, you don't need another communication class on how to resolve clients' issues. Once you uncover your hidden conditioning, you will have the skills to build stronger, more productive relationship with colleagues, clients, and ultimately leading to greater success and growth in your business and personal life. Listen, if you're a high-level woman ready to cultivate more meaningful and fulfilling relationships, both with yourself and others, and you take your business and professional growth seriously and you want to take it to the next level, you and your relationship with you and your brain is your greatest asset. My coaching program is perfect for you. You don't have to continue putting others first and neglecting your own needs and desires in the process. Because remember, you are your greatest asset. Let's work together to create a life that you enjoy of connection and success. If this interests you, reach out, book a breakthrough call at brigjohnson.com/breakthrough. Again, brigjohnson.com/breakthrough. Look forward to talking to you. Second, and this one was a little bit more subtle. I didn't want to die alone. This was the subtle one first, because to die alone, not partnered, was considered the kiss of death. Think of how others look at you when you're single, especially for those of us who are childless. I'm not one of them, but talking about us as women of color. Like, don't be single and childless. Oh my God. It's depicted like your life is going to suffer. Like when you get old, doomsday, like you are going to just be this mass of regret, right? And the record actually does not support that. If you look at the data of women, especially childless women in their 50s and 60s, that's the demographic that is the absolute happiest, women who are not married and childless in their 60s, especially. They are the happiest demographic of all demographics. So the scare tactic of, oh my God, I'm going to die alone. Really, we get to question that. And I believed it. Like, I believed that I could die alone, not thinking, wait a minute, I have three kids. There's no way I can die alone. It wasn't even possible. And what made it that my aloneness was tied to me having another human being with what I call a third leg or kickstand that determined my aloneness, right? Like, kids didn't determine my aloneness. Me having someone with a third leg or a little kickstand, y'all know what I'm talking about, that determined whether or not I was alone. Really? That is a very male-centered way of looking at life. When you're doing this work, understand that partner-centered comes from male-centered point of view. Something is wrong with a woman if she is alone, right? There's something wrong with her. This work took me months. Okay, it took me years, y'all, to uncover. Now, granted, I will admit, had I had a coach, I think this might have been uncovered in about 3 to 4 sessions, but that's not where I was then. And so I had to noodle on it for a while, and I had to stay in the curiosity loop. I want to encourage you to do the same for yourself. Allow yourself time. What you're searching for is clarity, awareness of you. And believe me, when you have it, you'll know. How will you know? You will finally make sense to yourself, and your answers will be soothing. It would be like, oh, that feels right. Yeah, that makes sense. For me, it was like, oh, that's what I was doing. I was trying to prepare, like, if I help you, then you help me, and then we're going to be all right, and then we're going to be in our rocking chair at 70, and I won't die alone. Like, that was it. And it was like, oh, that was what I was picturing. That's what I was doing, as opposed to my rocking chair could be me with 4 other and 5 other rocking chairs, because it could be my kids and my grandkids. Like, that never occurred to me. And when I saw that, and when I answered that, it was comforting. And I saw the pattern. I absolutely understood why I did what I did. And the beauty of this, when you do this work, working through curiosity loops in a judgment-free zone, once you see it and it's revealed to you and you have that clarity, you can't unsee it, Queen. You can't unsee it. But here's some words of caution here. This awareness to create new patterns, understanding that those who are around you may be uncomfortable now. You will begin to confront and have conversations and boundaries that you normally don't. Those familiar with you may not like the new you and the way you're being, and that's okay. You don't have to get mad at them. You've changed. You get to accept that. Of course. They like the old you. That's who they were around. No one likes change, not even your friends. But you also have every right to change. And they have the right to their opinions to your change. Let them. Some will be able to adapt and some won't. That's okay. Also, a critical point here is, be aware of what I call pendulum swings. Often when we desire to change, we swing that pendulum all the way to the opposite side and overcorrect. This is normal. Give yourself grace. I promise you, you will begin, if you keep doing it, evaluating, editing, evaluating, redoing it, you will swing to the middle, right? So, choosing you. Ultimately, this journey is about choosing you, recognizing and shifting your patterns, confronting your uncomfortable truths, even your overcorrections, as I just stated. And what are you making it mean about you? When they do something, what am I making it mean about you? Accepting your fears, as I had to do, like, I'm going to die alone, asking where they came from. Where did that come from? And establishing new boundaries, all are part of respecting and prioritizing your needs and happiness. This transformational process isn't about overnight change, but a gradual and profound shift towards self-love and autonomy. That's where the safety comes in. When we begin to really choose ourselves, the uncomfortable conversations will happen more frequently. and you will see relationships differently. Still, the attachment to those that aren't choosing you will feel odd because you will finally live in a place where you are choosing you and you are always chosen. So that will be your new normal. You will have the identity of I am always being chosen. So anything else will feel like, what the fuck? This don't feel right. Like, this isn't normal. Like, what do you mean? It won't feel right in your body. Whereas right now, the uncomfortable conversation is the thing, or standing up for yourself is the thing that's uncomfortable. But when you make this pattern correct, when you live in a life where you are always choosing because you are always choosing you, when you are in a situation where that is not happening, that will be your odd. This will feel odd. Like, this will feel right. What is going on? The pattern will begin to fade of choosing people who don't choose you. You will stay up and you will start staying in those relationships a lot less, or you will put up boundaries quicker with those who don't have your best interests. You will cut people quicker in love while communicating more. Not cut people and not say anything, but you will be able to communicate. This didn't feel right. This wasn't what was expected. I don't like this. You will allow for your protest. Because again, it's unfamiliar. Like, no, I choose me all the time. And when this happened, like, no, no, no. You will start listening to yourself and your needs even more. There's empowerment through coaching. As your coach, my role is to guide you through understanding and navigating the nervous system states, helping you move from cocoon cave, and together we can break through these ceilings of past patterns, empowering you to create the life and relationships you truly deserve. So if you're tired of the same old cycles, and if you're ready to explore the depths of being and transform your relational world, let's embark on this journey together. It's time to step into your power, to understand your worth, and to choose relationships that celebrate and choose you, queen. I hope this podcast helped. If it did, if you know someone who could really use this understanding themselves, if they're beating themselves up, making themselves wrong because they keep choosing, like their picker is off, they keep choosing the wrong ones. They keep choosing people who don't choose them. Send them the link to this podcast and please write a review. That's how people find this podcast. And if it's helping you, it will help someone else too. I appreciate you and I love you. If you have any responses to this, if this helped, always reach out, brig@brigjohnson.com, and I will talk to you next week. All right, bye. Did you enjoy this podcast? Well, I have a personal invitation. I want to spend time with you, coach you, talk about the issues that are affecting you. We do this in a community we call the Melanin Hour, created just for us high-achieving Black women. You can register at brigjohnson.com/coaching. And don't forget, Deeply Rooted is where we put all this shit together. We immerse ourselves and we master this. 6 months, you, me, and a bunch of women that look like you and got a little melanin in them. That's Deeply Rooted. You can register for the wait list at brigjohnson.com/group. Hope to see you there. Bye.